Today's podcast features Coach Ricky Griffin of the Argyle Eagles. Coach Griffin was named the 2019 National Coach of the Year by the ABCA after winning back-to-back state championships in 2018 and 2019. Argyle also won the 2015 4A state championship. Coach Griffin's Eagles were also named the 2018-2019 national champions. Griffin and his team had a 50-game unbeaten streak, which at the time was the longest unbeaten streak in high school baseball.
Good. How are you?
You were, I think, the fastest one to get on, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, we'll jump right into it. You know, what's your baseball background? Where did you play? And what are the different schools that you've coached at?
Okay. You want me to start?
We already started.
Oh, we started. Okay. I'm sorry.
No problem.
Yeah. As far as baseball background, where I played, the little playing that I did was at Mary Harden Baylor.
Okay.
Played there. Gosh, I'm trying to think of the years. Benji Shipp was the head coach at that point.
Right.
I say I played. I remember when I was in my 20s after finishing college, and I would tell everybody that that my shoulder injury ended my baseball career. And then the longer I played and the longer I coached and the more I was around some really good kids, came to the realization that a transfer from Ranger Junior College is really what ended my baseball career.
What year was that, Coach? Because I went to Mary Harden Baylor for a year and played for Coach Shipp.
Yeah, it was Buddy Groom was there.
Oh, so that was a year before I got there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yep. So
because Buddy was still hanging around. He had finished. I think he had already signed, and I don't know. He just kind of hung around with us for like a half a year or something like that.
Right. Right. Yeah. I was. I wasn't a big contributor to that team. So.
Okay. And where all have you coached at?
I began coaching at Frisco, and that's where I graduated high school from. Played high school ball for Coach Scott Cook, and then was able to coach for him for the first 5 or 6 years, of my baseball coaching career, and then transferred over to Wiley, where I was the head baseball coach. That's where I started as getting a head job there, and then. Stayed there for 7, and then I've been at Argyle for 14. So.
Okay. All right. And kind of give us a short snapshot of why you got into coaching.
A lot of it had to do with my coaches in high school and just always, always thought that was such a cool job thought I saw how happy they were, how much fun they had doing their job. And then, it seemed like that's what I always wanted to do. And
right.
I was able to, it took me a while, to get through college with baseball and not exactly taking it very serious as far as the schoolwork went. It took me a while, but once I finished and got into it, I knew that that's what I was supposed to do.
Well, you had to have been pretty smart to be going to Mary Harden Baylor. That place was tough on me. I struggled. Yeah. I struggled there. I'm glad I transferred to Pan American and got out.
Yeah, and see, once I finished it at Mary Harden Baylor, I went to Stephen F. Austin to finish. So,
okay,
I didn't graduate it at Mary Harden Baylor.
Okay. Now, I mean, I'm sure you've been asked this a million times, but it's, kind of why I wanted to talk to you. When I was at Sherryland, we had a 50-game district winning streak, and I just remember the pressure that we had going through that thing. The lucky for me, though, it was several different seasons to where you didn't even have to mention it to the kids. I they really didn't know it that well, but yours was 50 straight unbeaten games in a row. So
yeah,
you had that streak. What are some of the pressures that come along with a streak like that?
The biggest pressure is to try to, once you win, to try to start over and do the things that caused you to win the very next game,
right.
without the streak or whatever being talked about. you know, just to keep the kids' minds on, you know, the reason we've won these many games in a row is because we've come to the park each day and we've done the things that we're supposed to do to win baseball games, which is get good pitching, throwing strikes, and playing good defense, and then moving runners and taking advantage of getting runs where we could. And, you know, we were able to just do that over and over, and had kids that were able to, you know, to wipe the slate clean and start it again the next day. You know, that was the hardest, is to get them to be able to do that. And then the other thing was just dealing with the media. That's,
yeah,
you know, you had a really good team. We had some really good players that were Division I players, you know, playing in 4A. You have that many Division I players playing in 4A, you're going to win a lot of ball games. And so I was hoping that the media would want to talk about the kids and their future, and none of those questions happened. It was all about, well, how do you feel? Is the pressure mounting? You know, of course it was, you know, so.
Yeah. And, you know, even though you had that great talent and everything else, I mean, you still had to run into some tough games, especially tournament wise. That's the thing that kind of surprised me is, you know, in those tournaments, you know, we'll end up throwing maybe a fifth, sixth guy and, you know, lose to a team we shouldn't, but you guys were able to go through that.
Yeah. And we played some, you know, we don't really play 4A teams in a lot of tournaments. We go and play. Oh, we play the Collin County tournament. You know, we play the McKinney schools and the Frisco schools and Prosper and those people. And then, you know, that year before last, we went down to the Border Olympics and played some really tough teams there. And it was just, you know, and during that time, I bet there was five or six walk-off home run or walk-off hit games.
Oh, man.
Where we were about to lose it, and we just figured out a way to win it.
Right. And now, after all that pressure, you know, how did you and your team move on after the streak?
Well, that was a good question. It, you know, South Lake ended it for us, and we were playing the Island Park tournament, and South Lake, you know, to their credit, we didn't really see their one. They threw a young freshman at us that's a left-handed. Now, I think he's their one now. The kid was amazing, especially that. And you know, and the atmosphere was crazy. I mean, I think everybody in South Lake was there and everybody in Argyle was there. And it was a lot of other people came to watch it too. And, you know, our pitcher didn't perform real good that night. And it was one of those times where every time a pitcher might not have a good night, we scored a bunch of runs and saved him. And, that didn't happen that night. And they gave us a little lesson that night, but the next, you know, the next day we had to come back and we had Coppell and Rockwall in the next day. And, and we came back and beat both of those teams the next, you know, so our kids got over it, you know?
Right. That's a mark of a good team, be able to come back and beat those two quality programs.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, and this one, something I had mentioned before, but, you know, did you find that teams were, you know, playing up to play you, or did you find that teams were kind of giving in, or a little of both?
What we were doing was we were drawing everybody's number one for the most part.
Yeah.
So that was a challenge, but man, we had some really, really good players. And what's a shame is this year was rounding out to be a really good, you know, we started off a little sloppy, having to figure, we had probably four or five kids on the field that we hadn't had the last 3 years. And those kids just took a while to get going, but they were starting to get going. We were about to be a really, really good team before this virus stuff hit. So it was a shame, but yeah.
Okay. Now, what are some of the characteristics that, you know, you and your program, you know, that show every year to make you, you know, a successful coach and really even a successful area? You know, that whole area of yours has been phenomenal.
Right. Well, you know, we're going to catch the baseball first of all, and we're going to be, and we put high priority on playing really good defense. So, we ask our pitchers to throw to spots and get ground balls and in situations and we're going to make plays for them, but we want them to have the other team put the ball in play, because we worked on defense so much. And because we do that, our walks are always kept at a minimum. I think we do that, and so we're real disciplined. We're not going to kill ourselves. You're just going to have to beat us. And the games that we've lost, for the most part, we just got beat, I think that's probably a characteristic of our program. And then just kids that are just really, really big, strong, fast, and tough. We don't have the skinny little ball player. We have our kids take the weight room really, really serious, and off season serious. And our kids have speed. They're all athletes, and we play an aggressive type of baseball where we take the extra base, and then we play a lot of, we bunt the ball a ton just because of our speed. So try to put pressure on the other team,
Right. And being a 4A, you guys have a lot of kids that play football and baseball?
Yeah, for sure. We have this past year, I had, I think, four kids or five kids in my baseball offseason class, and the rest of the team was in football.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, that brings us into practice, and that's sure. A big difference from our big schools and things like that. So, what's this fall, your off season, what did a typical week look like for you? Kids, that's got to be something else.
Sure. Well, first of all, our baseball period is the same period as football. So our baseballers do all of their weight training with the football team, and which is something that I push just because of the intensity of the room during that weight can't match that in a baseball class, let's say with, four to eight kids in there, and we're lifting by ourselves. So I love the atmosphere. So we'll lift three times a week during a week of baseball off season. And then we're going to pretty much either do some running but we do very, very, very little hitting or throwing.
Okay. Yeah.
We really just don't pick up the baseball. We'll start to do that. Maybe early December, we might start tossing it around a little bit, but not a practice look. Of course, I only have 4 to 5 kids there, so I'm not going to be able to do that anyway. And then our football, our football program usually, well, first of all, I'm the secondary coach in football. So,
okay.
During that time, a lot of the times the kids, my 4 or 5 straight baseball kids, they may be in the weight room with our strength and conditioning coordinator because I'm out on the field at practice. So that's kind of how it kind of works that way. We don't lose anything. I don't think we lose anything. I think like this year we had a lot of football players and we started a little slow, and I don't mean by losing games, just playing the type of baseball that we'd been playing. I think that the having that many footballers, it just makes us start maybe a little slow, but
right.
I wouldn't trade it because the type of baseball I want to play is a real aggressive style, like I said, and I want those kids to be big, fast, and strong.
Okay, so you feel like it helps you. Do you get them as soon as football's over, or is it kind of a slow process? And
well, no, actually, football will go till, we play usually till December.
Okay.
So the football is in there till December, and then we're still like, let's say when we come back from the break and it's about time for tryouts or whatever, all of our seniors that are baseball players will come to me, to that class, but we're still lifting three times a week during that time. And we don't pick up the ball and hit during that time, except on game days during the period. All practice is after school for us.
Wow. Okay. All right. That's a big difference. Now, what are some of the things that you guys do to build culture? Everybody, you know, is talking about culture now, and is there anything that you do specific?
Yeah, I mean, we're very, very team oriented. We have the 24 slogan pasted all over everything. That's what my license plate says.
Okay.
And the 24 is I always keep 25 kids on the varsity baseball team, and so. Every year, there's 25 on the roster. So what the 24 is the everything you do as an individual varsity baseball player, whether it be in the classroom, whether it be on the baseball field, or whether it be, you know, at home or around town during the weekend, everything you do should be for the 24, the other 24 players on that team. And everything you do negatively affects the 24 more than it does you. It affects those 24 players. So that's what the 24 means. And we started that, I think, about 4 years ago, 5 years ago. And man, the kids have bought into that. And they were already, you know, we already have really disciplined, good disciplined kids here. But just, you know, I thought that brought in, you know, you bunt somebody over, you hit somebody from, hit behind somebody from, that's at second and advance them, just small things like that. And then they'll tell them that's a good 24 at bat right there, you know. So it's kind of embedded in the program now.
Right. I like it. That's something I hadn't heard of before. So now, you know, everybody's looking for different competitions they can do in practice. So what are some of the competitions that you guys do in practice? Or it could be off season too, either one.
Yeah, mainly in practice, the competition, as far as that goes, is we chart a lot of stuff. Well, and then we post it. So during BP, you know, we may chart hard hits on Monday, and then diving plays or you know, twib note plays.
Right.
We may chart those on Wednesday, but we're going to chart something every day. And then we post that in the locker room for them. We'll have it posted the next day. So let's say we're doing hard hits and those 25 kids come through BP. There's a coach sitting there with a notebook and he's marking down every time that they, you know, they make good, solid contact, you know, line drive, ground ball, whatever it is, but just a good, you know, good hard hit and they'll get marks. And then, so that's a competition nearly every day. They're looking to get in the locker room to see who won that, you know? So
right.
We do a lot of that. We also do a lot of competition because all of our pitchers, bullpens are in our batting cages. And
okay.
they'll throw with a batting helmet on and throw behind an L screen. It's, you know, the L screen scooted a pretty good ways up, but they'll get their bullpen in and it's live against our varsity hitters. So there's lots of trash talk, and which I encourage because one is that I like the pitchers to. I like the pitchers to have to hear that, but I also like the pressure it puts on the hitters. So there's a lot of competition. And like I said, we allow the trash talk in that arena right there. So,
and thinking about that, how many cages do you have? Do you have just one going at a time or?
Sometimes we do, but for the most part, we'll have two pitchers and two long cages at the same time.
Okay. All right. That's good. I like that also. Now, you know, personal development for your players, or are there anything that you do, that you guys do, you know, outside of baseball?
Yeah, there's, we have our senior buddies. All of our seniors will go to the elementary schools 1 to 2 days a week and have breakfast with, you know, a certain kid. We'll do some stuff like that as far as within the school district. community-wise, if there's a chance for us to do something, we'll try to do that. But there's a lot of that. It's a lot different because all of our, for the most part, most of our players are football players, so they're doing things like that as well in the fall.
Now, and when they pick a, you know, a breakfast buddy or whatever that is that something that the elementary school or the junior high will pick? There's certain kids that they want to.
There's certain kids that they're wanting. I'm sure most of the time it's an at-risk kid, but
right.
They'll have kids and then they'll assign them to our seniors.
Okay. All right. And then focusing on your coaches, do you intentionally prepare them to be future head coaches?
I try to. My main assistant is Steve Stinson, who has more years of baseball experience than I do. So I lean on, I lean on him heavily. He works with all of our pitchers and, I give him tons of responsibility. So he's basically an assistant head coach. My other coaches, I do have some young coaches, and my son actually is one of our assistants.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's really nice. Last year was the first year we got to do that. So, he's young and he's one that has aspirations of being a head coach. And we just hired another young baseball coach that is the same way. It's really they have aspirations to do that. And, they both want to get their feet wet and learn as much as they can, not necessarily from me, but just how we run the program.
Right.
And then, because I think the head coach, I don't think the head coach needs to learn, a young guy that's wanting to be a head coach, not necessarily learning, when to send a guy, when to send a guy on a base hit from second, or when to throw, when to throw a slider away. That's just a small part of running a program. And the large part of running a program is like you talked about, learning how to build character in your program, how to be an example for these young men and just all of the things that aren't talked about a lot, but really are the main things as far as running a baseball program and building a baseball program.
Right. Now, talk about what you just talked about. This year was the first year I got to work with my son. And did you notice that you coached any different once your son was there?
I don't really think so. I mean, he's another one of those kids that he knew that's what he wanted to do. I have two boys. One of them is in strength conditioning. He runs his own gym here in Argyle. The other one is a teacher and coach and is able to coach with me. So I don't think so. And I coached him. I can tell you this, I was much more, harsh with him than I am any other player. And he does know that. And he reminds me.
Yeah. I was the same way with my boys, a little bit too harsh. I've had to apologize for that several times.
Yeah. As well. Me as well.
I had the rule that I couldn't talk to my kids after a game at home. That was from my wife, though. So yeah. Once we got home, we couldn't talk baseball at all. So that kind of saved me after a while. Now, you talked about the 24, but what are some of the rules or the standards that you have for your program? In other words, these are the things that we're going to follow, guys.
Yeah, just being on time. It's easier for the varsity baseball because we don't start practice until 5 o'clock. So they have an hour after school to go get something to eat or whatever they need to do and then be there ready to stretch. But like our sub-varsity program, they have to sprint from the high school to the field. And so we want them always on time. For sure, we run an incredible practice. And Coach Stinson, I always thought I ran about the best high school practice not being arrogant, but I was really proud of the practice that I'd always run. And then Coach Stinson got here and showed me that I did not have the best practice, that he had the best practice. So we implemented his practice and it's been, one thing that got us over the hump, that was it for sure. One, hiring him, but just two is him bringing in that practice and us, and it's a type practice where, it doesn't matter if it's your stud pitcher or stud shortstop or whoever, if they're not running on the field or if they're not running to the next station, or if they're not, you know, because I'll tell you, we practice about an hour and 20 minutes is all.
Nice.
And we get a ton of stuff done. That's with defense and hitting as well. And now the pitchers may stay and throw a flat ground if they're throwing, if it's that time and they're not throwing in the cage, they may stay and throw a flat ground after a practice. But for the most part, we're out by an hour and 20 minutes. And we stress that everything needs to be crisp. And so, you know, it's running on the field, running off the field, running from station to station, running in and out of the turtle, all of those things, you know. So.
Yeah, okay. All right, so take us through a typical practice plan, you know, what it would look like and how much time you would spend on maybe each segment.
Absolutely. We'll start out, and the first thing we're going to do is we're going to run and stretch, and we have our seniors lead that every day. So because they're going to do that in pregame anyway, once the season starts. So they run our running and stretching program that starts at 5 o'clock, exactly at 5 o'clock. And then from there, we'll be finishing the sub-varsity up and getting them off the field. And we'll go into our defensive part of the practice. Sometimes it's a mass infield, mass outfield with getting tons of fly balls. Sometimes it's usually two things. It's usually mass in and mass out plus one other. Sometimes we'll do what's called fundy, which is it's the middle infield working double plays, the third base working slow rollers, first base and pitchers working, you know, working the ball to first and pitchers covering. The catchers will be working blocks. I mean, just different things. And we only have four coaches, and we are going to get to add one this next year. So we only have four coaches, and that includes me. So we're kind of spread thin, but we figured, you know, we figured it out. And then, so we'll do a fundy and mass, or we may do, we'll work our double cut drills, just something defensively every day. And then, from then we'll go, it'll either be a PFP situation. It might be picks one day, but it's with all of our pitchers on the mound. And so we'll do picks or PFP, or we may do first and third situations, but that comes after the defensive part. And then from there we'll go, from there we'll go into the offensive part of the practice, which is, you know, which is usually a rotational type. Then what we'll have is we'll have the starting infielders, first, second, third, and short, in a group. We'll have the second string infielders, first, second, short, and third. They'll be in a different group, and then the same with the outfield. There'll be three outfielders and then three outfielders, and then the POs, which we don't have a lot of pitchers only, but we do have some. And they're usually either running or they're working the alleys, something like that, during the BP. But so you have those four groups, and what you'll have is you'll have let's say the infielder, the starting infield group may be there, and the starting outfield group is out there, and then you have the second group infielders, they're taking BP. And so in the cage, and then you have the second team outfielders, they're in the cages, and they're usually taking swings from our pitchers that are getting their bullpens in. So you have basically four stations. If you're an infielder, you're going to be on the infield two different times, and then you're going to be in the cages, and then you're going to be hitting live.
Right.
So, and so as far as like during your defense, we're charting diving catches, things like that. So they go, I mean, they're diving nonstop to get any ball that they could possibly get that's live off the bat. And so the first, let's say I'm a starting shortstop. The first time that I'm on defense, I may be throwing it across. The second time I may be working double plays. And then some days we just have them roll it behind them and make a pile. So it just depends on it depends on how it is, but they'll go twice, and each outfielder the same way. They'll go twice. We'll have some pitchers in the gaps in case the ball gets through in the outfield. But for the most part, the outfielders are running and trying to get every ball that they could possibly get to. And they're making diving catches as well, because that gets, you know, that they know that that's being scored as well from the coach with the clipboard. So we'll do that. And then as far as our hitting, hitting live goes, we'll usually hit anywhere from 4 to 5 rounds of 5 or 6. And we'll usually bunt around. And we'll usually have a action round, which is we'll have a guy at first, second, third, and they'll kind of rotate through, and you'll bunt the first guy over, hit behind the next guy, and get the next guy in from third. So that would be your second round, and then you usually have 2 to 3 rounds of just live hitting.
Okay. And is everything live, or are you actually getting some fungo in between?
No, everything is off the bat. Now we will every once in a while we'll give some extra ground balls, but for the most part, they're going to be doing something with the baseball, whether it be a double play or throwing it across, because we play every single ball we play live.
Okay, yeah, we have a BP that's almost exactly the same as that, and the kids enjoy it, and it's a little bit different from what we do on every other day.
Sure.
Now you've been coaching long enough. Have you found anything, to help yourself be more efficient or to save time in practice and things like that? Because obviously you have to be for as short as, I wouldn't say as short as you're practicing, but because we try and do the same thing. We try and go about the same amount of time. And if you're working, that's all you need. But have you found some things that save time?
Yeah, I mean, basically the running from station to station.
Right.
And truthfully, the kids, I mean, we still have high school kids. And we're starting practice at 5 o'clock. So, if we're not getting from station to station, if we're not running from place to place and getting after it, then our practice is going to take 2 hours. Well, that means that by the time I let them go, it's 7. That by the time I let them go, it's 7:15. By the time they get in there and get dressed, it's 7:30. They may have a little homework or dinner, and that's it. So,
right.
If I can get them out of there by, 6:15, 6:20, which is what we try to do every day, then they actually can still have a life outside of high school baseball in the evening. So most of them have girlfriends. So I'm sure they're wanting to go talk to them, but the biggest thing is just it's finally gotten to where we really don't have to coach that,
right?
And a senior, one of our seniors or one of our starters, a lot of times will see someone not doing it, and it's much better coming from them than it is us anyway.
Yeah, that's for sure. Now you talked about your BP setup a little bit already. Is there another BP? Favorite BP setup that you have?
No, we'll play. We'll every once in a while we'll do the, we'll do the 21 outs where we'll let one of them hit live, and then just play the ball, play every ball live, and finish out the play. And then if a base hit happens, then we leave that guy at first. And so we'll do some of that, but We do zero scrimmaging. I mean,
us too, pretty much.
Yeah, we just don't. Yeah. Now we'll scrimmage during tryouts, just so I can see if a kid knows where to go if the ball's down the left field line or something like that. During tryouts, we'll do that, but other than that, it's a routine every day. But we're charting something different every day, so. The kids know that, and they just like the practice. It's like the fact that every ball is live off the bat, and they're getting to play a double play or throwing it across or whatever. I mean, they feel like they're getting to play a scrimmage type anyway every day.
So. Right, exactly. All right, so lightning round now, short answers.
Okay.
What's the last thing that you learned that you're excited about? Maybe, over this break that you studied or learned and that you were really excited about?
The last thing I learned, well, probably, you may have me on that one. The biggest thing I've learned, I'll tell you what I've learned. I'm not necessarily, excited about it, but I've learned to, I tell you what, I've learned that I cannot take being with these kids every day for granted. It is, yeah. I mean, it is absolutely, it's floored me. These, you know, you think you take those relationships that you make with those kids for granted, and you don't realize that they're such a big part of your life. And until all of a sudden you're told to stay at home and, you know, you don't get to see their faces, man, that has been the toughest thing. And I hopefully, and I think it has, it's taught me a lesson that I'm going to have to cherish those things and make sure those kids know how I feel about them, you know?
Right. Yeah. It's been tough. As a coach, I just kind of feel lost at times, you know, to tell you the truth, but, you know, I've got a lot of work done around the house, but still it's just not the same.
Right. Right.
All right. So what's the one thing that you do in practice that your players really love, that if they were in charge of practice, they say, okay, this is what we're doing.
The charting.
Okay.
They love the charting. They want to make sure that it changes every day, that some days we chart defensively and I mean, it's, there's more celebration for a play in the outfield, just in practice. Just a guy, you know, a guy getting vertical and getting to a ball. And, you know, those kids know he just got points for that, you know, so they love that, because one thing, it just keeps them focused. It keeps them.
Right.
There's no rock piles, in Argyle BP at all.
Do you have those guys that hover around the coach trying to find out if they gave him the points or not gave him the points?
Yes, of course. Jeez. I do. It's terrible.
Man.
They're walking behind them, and then they get sick. I'll tell you what, especially like Dylan Carter that went to Tech and the Dixon kid that went to Texas, and they'd, you know, they'd be in such a battle with each other every day. They'd try to see it, and then you're talking about whining. It's like
– Yeah.
Yeah, so –
Yeah, we've noticed that a lot. We've charted pretty much. We've tried to chart as much as we can the last couple of years, and we've had a lot of that stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah.
All right. So, what's one thing that you really believe in that other coaches would say, you know, disagree with you with, or say, no, I think they're doing it the wrong way?
I prefer my kids to be football players.
Okay. That's
and you know the reason. I'll tell you the reason is that. You know, we've gone down to Austin. We've been there four times.
Right.
Every time we've played in the championship game, we've won three out of four of those games. And when we walk onto the field every time in Dishfalk, and even if it's a kid's first time there, I promise you that I'm the most nervous person on the field.
Wow.
Not them. I mean, it's just, they've been put in so many situations playing football. I mean, it's just, you know, there's just so many nerve-wracking situations that you get put in, and their bodies get pushed, and they're, you know, they think they can't do it, or they have to play through some pain or whatever. It just makes them so mentally tough that, man, when we go, you know, we step on Dishfalk, and it's just, that's a huge advantage when we go there. Is that right. there's just no nerves from our kids.
Okay. I like that answer. All right. And I think I kind of know how you're going to answer this one, but if we came to your practice, what would be three things that would really stand out? What would we notice?
One, organization. It's very well organized. And again, that's Coach Stinson. That I'm not taking credit for that. That dude is like the most anal person I've ever been around, but that's okay. That's okay, because we have to have that, you know, and that's the best hire I've ever made in my career. And so the first thing for sure would be a practice organization. The second, I hope you would see focus. And then the last would be the hustle that right. You see the kids moving around.
Okay. Last one. So favorite books or favorite resources, you know, it could be something from Twitter or Facebook or whatever.
Yeah, you know, I'm a big fan of, I'm an inspirational guy. I'm kind of a soft-hearted guy. So, I like success stories and a lot of that. As far as getting X's and O's, I guess, from people. I've really done that from my mentors more than I have that from a book.
Okay.
I just think that there's a certain way that I want it done. It is not the way everybody else does it. And for sure, I'm not saying it's the best way, but with my personality and those kids, I know those kids know I love them. And, I'm going to ask them to give up a lot of their time. And, I don't want them to be worried. I know that they're not worried if they make a mistake that I'm going to chew their tail, but I want to get to the point where they're a lot more concerned with disappointing me. And the only way I can do that is to make sure that they know I love them and create good relationships with those kids. And so, because of that, I think that our kids, like our bunt coverages, we just run a bunt coverage depending on where the guy is at on the base, you know. The baseball that we do, the signs and everything, we don't use the wristbands. I mean, we're very, very traditional, and it's all stuff that I've learned from my mentors, and we keep getting good baseball players, and as long as we do that, then we're going to be successful.
Right. Okay. Well, Coach, I really appreciate you coming on. And, is there a Twitter handle that we can follow, or do you have an email if someone wants to get in touch with you?
Absolutely. The email is rgriffin, RGRIFFIN, at argyleisd.com. And as far as a Twitter goes, I'm not very good at that.
It's been a really okay. no problem, Coach.
If we have a baseball, the baseball website and is run by one of the younger coaches. I'm not that old, but I'm definitely old fashioned. So,
right. Again, Coach, I really appreciate it. Yes, and sir. We were supposed to do this last week, and I just wasn't able to. So, thank you for waiting a week with me.
Absolutely. I have plenty of time on my hands.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, Coach. Thank you very much.
All right, buddy. Thank you.